Well, welcome to another download from www.spirituality.org.za. You're listening to Dion Foster, and today we bring you another podcast. It's a pre-recorded sermon that was preached at Calvary Methodist Church, a truly remarkable church in Johannesburg, South Africa. The minister of that church is the Reverend Alan Story. Particularly those in South Africa and those in America may know both him and his father, Peter Story, quite well. And that really is, Calvary Methodist Church truly is one of the most remarkable churches that that I've had the joy and privilege of being at. I preach there fairly regularly at the graces of my good friends, Alan Story and Siviwe Waku, the two ministers who are there. If you want to see more information about the church, then please go to www.calvary.org.za, and they have a truly remarkable perspective on the Christian faith, and it's a wonderful, open, affirming, inclusive, justice-orientated, mercy-driven, Christ-loving church, and it really is a wonderful example. Now, the message that I preach there today is entitled Potholes and Power Outages and Living on the Side of Hope. For those who've been following my blog in the last few days, you'll know that here in South Africa we've been encountering some problems with the steady supply of electricity. Under the apartheid government, there wasn't sufficient planning made for the growth that we're experiencing in the community and in the economy. And as with so many other aspects of South Africa, we are suffering the consequences of those. And so many communities have been left without power over the last number of months. And we find that at least for 2 or 3 hours each and every day, the power goes off. And so those of us who have laptops and UPSs manage to get a bit of work done. But as you can imagine, it leaves us with real problems, both in terms of lost revenues and productivity. And it's becoming something of a frustration, and many people are beginning to lose hope. Now, as I went to Calvary on invitation to preach to them on their Covenant Sunday, a day on which Methodists traditionally make their covenant with God for the year ahead, the Lord really led me to share this message with them, that we need to find ways to live on the side of hope. So today's message is called Potholes and Power Outages, Choosing for the Option of Living on the Side of Hope. And the text for this message was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verses 4 to 10. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verses 4 to 10. Well, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you have any feedback or comment to offer, I'd appreciate hearing from you. You can either leave a comment directly on the blog, or you can send me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. Thanks very much, and God bless you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verses 4 to 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, from verses 4 to 10. Paul writes, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so, you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." This is the word of God. Please will you pray for me? Let us pray.
Loving God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It brings us encouragement. It brings us hope. It offers us rebuke and helps us to correct ourselves. We pray, Lord God, that today as we come to prepare our hearts and minds to covenant ourselves once again to you, that you would speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let your message be clear. And let it be unique for each one of us. Help us, Lord God, to listen for the strains and tones of your voice and to hear your word amongst the many words that we will hear this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, giving you thanks and praise. Amen. Now this morning I want to speak to you on this great Covenant Sunday about potholes and power outages. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
By the way, the title for this message came from Sva in a conversation that we had over the phone. Potholes and power outages. When Sva phoned me last night just to have a quick chat, it was at around 8 o'clock in the evening. We had been without power in Pretoria since 2 p.m. And I went to bed in darkness last night, which is not a bad thing to do when you're going to bed. But then I was awoken at about 10 when the lights came on and I'd forgotten to switch them off. How many of you in these last weeks have been affected by potholes and power outages? Woo, friends. Now, you know what was interesting for me and what really set me off as I began to think what I could share with you on Covenant Sunday was a conversation that I had with someone who lives in the area where I live. Now, he spoke to me in a particular way because, as you may have noticed, I'm white. And I'm male. And I live in Pretoria. God help us. So he came to speak to me, and you know what he was telling me? He said to me, "This is the last straw. I'm leaving for New Zealand." In my mind, unpastorally and unchristian, I was saying, "Can I help you take your bags?" But isn't it sad that so many people in the world allow things such as these to destroy their hope? It's sad when we live amongst people and when we ourselves have our hope destroyed by things that really, friends, in the greatest scheme of things, are just a minor inconvenience, a bit of a struggle. Now, the reason I chose to read to you from the first letter to the Thessalonians is because, did you know this? You must write this down. It's in the test afterwards. Eh? Did you know that the Thessalonian church and the letter to the Thessalonians is the oldest letter in the New Testament? Did you know that? It was written even before the Gospels came to be written. It's the very first piece of writing in the New Testament. It's the oldest. And so when we catch a glimpse of the church at Thessalonica, we catch a glimpse of one of the most fledgling, frail, weak, and disregarded churches in the Bible. Friends, let me say to you, the church at Thessalonica certainly wasn't as grand as this church is. Probably you would find it was a group of maybe 15, perhaps 20 people who were meeting in one another's houses to find a way to be faithful and courageous in loving and serving the Lord. Now that's the first thing I need you to know. Small, fledgling, In fact, if they put a sign up to describe their church, it may be potholes and power outages. It wasn't a grand church. The second thing that we need to notice about this particular church is that Paul mentions specifically, did you hear it when we read it today, that this was a church that faced incredible suffering, and not only suffering, persecution. Now, the reason for that is quite simple. You see, the earliest Christians were certainly not like us. When people say, so what did you do on a Sunday? If you tell them I went to church, they think, huh? Respectable. Am I right? Let me tell you, the earliest Christians were certainly not regarded as respectable. The Roman governments treated them as political dissidents. They were regarded with great suspicion. In fact, they were denied access to legal recourse and justice. Why? Because they referred to their Savior as Lord. The Greek word kurios, which was the title reserved for the emperor. And so they thought, these are people we have to watch out for. So not only did the Romans persecute and disregard them, but the Jews, the dominant faith amongst people who follow the Hebrew scriptures, also disregarded them, because here were a group of people who said, you know the Messiah that you're waiting for? Guess what? He came, and you missed him. And so the Jews disregarded them. So you find that the early Christians were dispossessed of two of the things that are most important for all of us. They didn't have access to the structures of society, and they also didn't have access to commerce in society. This was a fledgling group of Christians. Now here's what I want you to recognize. In the midst of that hopelessness, that little group of 10 or 15 people could have given up and not followed Jesus. Am I right? Yet, we read not only did this group faithfully and courageously and blessedly live for God, but in fact they did it in such an incredible manner that we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 that Paul says, your faith has become an example. It is known of and spoken of everywhere. Heck, isn't that the kind of church that you want to belong to? A church where people say, if you want to know what Jesus is like, look at Calvary Methodist Church. A person whose faith is so incredible that when people speak of faithfulness, they say, look at that person. You see, friends, the distinctive thing that set the Thessalonians apart was that they lived a life of hope. I like the way Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by... Now, you know what's interesting about that particular verse, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7? The word walk, in some translations, is translated as live. It's a Greek word, pisteo. This is also in the test, eh? You don't get coffee unless you pass the test. Pisteo, the Greek word, has two meanings that the English translation doesn't quite grasp. The first aspect of pisteo that the English translation doesn't grasp is that pisteo means to walk with someone. It doesn't just mean walk. It means to walk alongside, to walk in the presence of. And so when Paul says we walk by faith, he means it's a shared journey that is done in community with one another and with God. But the second thing that pisteo communicates is that it is an ongoing choice to make steps. It's a deliberate, intentional, chosen action to put your feet in front of one another and to live in a particular direction. You see, the central element there is the element of hope. It's about hope. Now, friends, I want to say to you today, if there is one element you need to hold on to as you make your covenant before God today, let it be the element of hope. I found this beautiful quote that says, hope is like a bird that senses the dawn is coming and carefully starts to sing while it is still dark. Isn't that wonderful? So I want to ask you today, in a world of potholes and power outages, how do you live your life? You see, because this is the thing that we need to recognize. Friends, if you want to judge someone's character, don't judge them when they're at their best. Judge them when they're at their worst. Am I right? I mean, that's how you can see how someone truly is. When everything is out of control, when they feel that they can't quite cope with what's going on, that's where you can tell what kind of character a person has. Am I right? Now, I want to say to you today, as well as the church, we need to understand that the world does not judge Christianity by Jesus. In fact, if that were the case, everyone would be a Christian because Christ is so exemplary. Let me say, the world judges Jesus by you and me, by the manner in which we live. So today I want to share with you three quick little pointers that you might consider as you make your covenant. These were the three bits of advice that Paul gave to the fledgling church at Thessalonica, so that their faith became the kind of faith that everyone testified about. Are you ready to go? Number one, the first thing that Paul asks of the church of Thessalonica, the first engagement that he has to them, is he asks them, "What do you see?" If you go and read 1 Thessalonians, you'll see Paul asks the church, "What do you see?" You see, the Thessalonians were a community that faced hardship. And the very first thing that Paul does is he reminds them that they serve a God who is greater than that hardship. In fact, what Paul does is he commends them for their worship. Now, let's think a little bit about this. What exactly is worship? Have you ever thought about it? What is worship? Is worship an ego boost for God? As if God is insecure, and once a week we have to come together and say, "Oh God, you're the best God there is. Eh? You're strong. There's no other God quite like you." And God says, "You know, I'd forgotten. I'm so glad you reminded me." I mean, is that what worship is? No. I mean, worship, if you break it down to its fundamental principle, the etymology of the word, means to ascribe truth and worth to something. Am I right? Now, let me say to you, you started worshiping the moment you left your house today. Do you know that was an act of worship? When you took the first step into the rain, and that first drop hit you on your head. That was an act of worship. Do you know that? Because you said, "Lord, to come and be in your presence is worth more than staying home and being dry." You know, when you put your key in the car this morning and you turn the key, you were worshiping God. You said, "Lord, you're worth more than 7 rand a litre." You're worth it. You are worth it, Almighty God, for me to come into your presence and to declare the truth that there is nothing that is greater than you are. You see, friends, this is where I think we get it wrong with worship. Worship is not an ego boost for God. God knows who God is. Worship is about us discovering the truth of the God that we worship. So when we stand here and we say, "Oh Lord, you are powerful," do we truly believe that God is powerful enough to deal with our lives? Do we believe it? Because if you are just standing here to try and rub God's ego, you've lost your way. So Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, "What do you see? When you look at the world, do you see the truth of the God who will never be defeated by evil? Do you see it? Can you catch the glimpses of the truth of the God who is more worthy than any struggle you see in society?" Because friends, let me give you a little tip here. Worship is the heartbeat of hope. Worship is the heartbeat of hope. That is what keeps us alive in a world that comes to destroy our lives. And so Paul says to this fledgling little persecuted pothole and power outage community, what do you see? And so the first thing I want to ask you today is, as you make your covenant with God today, what do you see for this year? Where do you ascribe your worth? What are you going to say is most worthy in my life this year? What is most worthy of your time, of your energy, and of your commitment? See, we have to be careful. The world is powerful and wants to seduce us. Heck, I read one edition of Men's Health and I almost exercise. It's dangerous. I mean, the world seduces us into saying that there are other kingdoms and other powers and other demands and other priorities that are worth more than the most worthy God. Am I right? And so the question I want to ask you today is, as you make covenant, what do you see? The second question that Paul had to ask of the Thessalonians is not only, how is your worship going, what do you see, but he had to ask them, what do you do? You see, the Thessalonians, we read in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, were not known for their great worship. They weren't known for their nice buildings. In fact, they weren't even known for their great preaching. Their worship and the knowledge of their faith was told in the things that they did outside of the fellowship, in the community. Now, folks, this is the question that Paul asks of the Thessalonians. What do you do? You see, the thing that we need to realize is that worship is always about more than just words. It's easy to stand here with one another and sing Sia Kudumisa Tito. Am I right? Amen. But heck, when the load shedding starts and the highway's jam-packed, eh? And you get cut off by someone, let's hear you singing. Eh? Kosi nditemba wena, eh? Oh Lord. You see, the reality is that true worship is something quite simple. True worship is what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus said, Lord, what did he say? Let your will be done on as it is done in heaven. You see, true worship is about saying, Lord, because I believe the truth that evil will not triumph over good. Because I believe that you are a God of generosity where no one has too little. Because I believe it. Because it is worth more in truth than anything I see, Lord, my worshipful responsibility is to bring heaven to earth. That, my friends, is when God is glorified. It's worship when we decide to give of our time and our energy and our intellect and, God forbid, our money. It's worship. It's worship when we decide to say, Lord, establish your kingdom in my life and in this world. And so the question I want to ask you today, like the question that Paul asked the Thessalonians, is, what do you do? Number three. Here's the final point. Not only does Paul ask them, what do you see? And he reminds them that worship is the heartbeat of hope. Not only does he ask them, what do you do? And tell them that worship is about more than words. But the third thing that Paul asks them is, where do you live? Where do you live? You see, the thing that we need to understand about true worship is that because it is the heartbeat of hope, it has to become a continual lifestyle. Can you imagine if your heart beat only for 1 hour on a Sunday? How do you think your week's going to be? Look, you'll see a lot of people at your funeral, I can guarantee that. And some of us try and live our lives as if we can honor God and transform the world and find personal fulfillment by just having that heartbeat for a few minutes a day or for 1 hour a week. You see, it was the continual lifestyle of the Thessalonians that impacted the community. They weren't known for one great crusade. Paul doesn't say, in your crusade to Macedonia, 300 people were saved. Job well done. They were known for a lifestyle of continual transformation. And so the question I want to ask you is, where do you live? Where do you live and share life and healing and wholeness and blessing with others? You see, the Thessalonians had to choose where to live. They had to say, Lord, I live in a real world where there is trial. But living on the side of hope turns trials into testimony. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today as you make the covenant, make it a covenant of hope. Don't pack your bags and head for New Zealand. Stick around. You know what the secret is? The good news is you'll always find Jesus where there is struggle and hardship and strife. And I want to encourage you today to be like that bird who senses that dawn is coming and carefully starts to sing while it is still dark. May the Lord bless us as we live on the side of hope. Let us pray. And so, loving and mighty and powerful and hopeful God, we thank you. We thank you that you are truly worth more than anything we see or experience or any pressure that is placed upon us. Loving God, as we sit here this morning, we declare that your view of reality is worth more than ours. That your truth about the world is more true than ours. And Lord, we pray today that you would give us the courage to bring that truthful image from heaven to earth. Give us the courage, Lord God, to change our relationships to reflect your will. To change our mannerisms, our choices, so that everything we do, Lord God, may be choosing for the worth of your priority. Lord, as we make our covenant this year, we pray that you would strengthen us and that you would give us courage. Help us, Lord God, to live on the side of hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, giving you thanks and praise. Amen.
Well, thanks for tuning into this podcast on www.spirituality.org.za. And I pray that as you face the year ahead of you, that you would face it with great courage and with great joy, and that your faith would be an example to many others. Please feel free to drop me a line if you've got any comments or questions or suggestions or just want to say hi. It's always great to hear from the listeners. And you can do so on digitaldion@gmail.com or just leave a comment for me on the website. Thanks again for tuning in and for downloading this podcast. Have a blessed day. Goodbye.